The following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
Hey, good morning again. Welcome to Life Connection. Hey, before we get started, just a moment of some family business. This past week, one of our friends and a partner here at Life Connection, Shawnee Reynolds, passed away suddenly. She was found in her apartment. And in a morning like this, I couldn't help but be reminded of our desperate need for the work of the Spirit in our lives. While we mourn, we grieve, we don't do so without hope. We remember that God's presence has been made near to us in and through and by Jesus. The Spirit resides within us, and so we celebrate the fact that Shawnee knew him. And we want to pray right now just real specifically for our family, for those friends and loved ones who are grieving. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll transition to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Father, we do want to be people who do not grieve without hope. We want to have our eyes set, our hearts attuned to what's real and what's true. And so in this moment, we want to be mindful of Jesus. That is because of your work in and through Jesus that your presence has been made near. That we can experience a relational depth of communion with you because of Jesus, by your Holy Spirit. And so as we close this series, considering the work and the role and the person of the Spirit of God, would you open the eyes of our heart that we might hear from you and that we might interact with your word rightly. And we pray all these things by Jesus' name. Amen. Well, our culture has long enjoyed telling us what wisdom is. And oftentimes, the wisdom of our world runs contrary to the very heart of the Christian faith. And that couldn't be more true than the idea that we need to leave notions of the supernatural kind of behind. Like these ideas that there are gods or angels, that there are immaterial beings that interact somehow in our world, that seems to run very contrary to what we hold near and dear as people, as human persons. We have this idea, like only the natural world is what exists. Only if I can see it and touch it do I know that it's real. That idea has been prevalent for a very long time. And so the idea that there is a supernatural realm, that there is a God who exists, who interacts and interjects into his world, seems just to be silly talk in our culture, right? I mean, it doesn't matter that we've had hundreds of UFO sightings in the last, month, and the Asgardians are coming to make contact. But we're the crazy ones for thinking that there might actually be a God who interacts with this world. And this is built upon kind of modern assumptions of science. That the modern assumptions of science is that we have a closed system, that there isn't anything that can interact or interject from outside the system. But quietly, this is the open secret. That isn't a scientific claim. That's an assumption. It's a presupposition. It's a claim that science is built upon, but it's not actually the conclusion of a scientific endeavor. Might it just be that there is indeed a God who exists, and he created the world that we live in? He created everything we see and everything we don't see. Anything that was made, anything that's outside of God, he made it. And if there is a God who is like that, might it be that he interacts, he interjects into his created order? Might it actually be that there is indeed a Holy Spirit that God has sent to take up residence, not just among his people, but within his people? And might it also be that God wants to use you and me to display a manifestation, he says, of the activity and the work of the Holy Spirit amongst his people? Well, the Apostle Paul provides just that sort of insight for us, wanting us to see that no matter what you believe when you came through those doors, whether you believe that there is a supernatural realm or maybe you're quite skeptical of it, whatever you believe coming in and through those doors, this is what's true of each and every one of us. We're all looking to something to build our lives upon. We all want something to provide meaning, significance, and substance to life. Substance. We desperately want something that transcends the natural, don't we? I mean, think of it. None of us want, our lives merely to be bound up in the here and now. Like, what brings meaning to life are things like relational connection, love, intimacy. Those are the things that bring life, not just the mere stuff and things that you have in your home, but it's something beyond that, isn't it? We all build our lives on something, and the Apostle Paul wants us to see that the only thing that is ultimately going to bring that kind of significance and that kind of substance to our lives is the Lord Jesus. We're all going to build our lives on something. He wants to say the smart move is to build your life upon Jesus, because he's the one who helps us connect to the transcendent world beyond. He's the one who helps us connect to the Lord Jesus. And so as we conclude this kind of discussion over the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the individual and the life of the church, we want to consider how God empowers his people by his Spirit, that he empowers his people for service so we can care for one another well. This passage can be quite confusing at times, I think at least in part, because we get fixated on the list. We look at this list and we wonder, one, what on earth is going on, right? If you didn't have that thought when Megan read those words, I don't know what's going on, because like, what is going on with those words? But secondly, we end up becoming fixated thinking that somehow the only gifts that God gives his people are found and bound up in this list. And yet to do that misses the point that Paul wants to make for us this morning in this passage. Like, really, the point of this passage is found in verse 7. To each person who follows Jesus, to each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And what we want to do as we walk through this passage very quickly is to see how he makes that case. We want to see what does it mean that to each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. What we'll see is that the Holy Spirit empowers his people for service. A very simple and yet very profound idea. The Holy Spirit empowers his people for service. And the first thing that we see there in verse 7 is that the Spirit gifts all his people. The Holy Spirit gives gifts to all his people. He says, to each. Who is the each? Who is he speaking of here? Well, he's unpacked that for us in verses 1 through 6. Look again at verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray by mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. You see, if we want to understand what it means that the Spirit of God empowers his people for service, it has to start with Jesus. That is the starting point. We have to understand who he is and what God has done in and through Jesus. It all starts with Jesus. And so the ones who have received a gift of the Spirit are those who have turned their back on, he says, mute idols. Again, we're all looking to something to provide meaning and significance for life. And the problem, Paul says, looking for that outside of Jesus is every other God that we try to hope in is mute. He has nothing to say, has nothing to contribute, has nothing to invest in our lives. And so if we want to understand how the Spirit gifts his people, it starts by turning from all of those things that we once trusted in, all those things that we trusted in to provide meaning, value, significance to us. The chasing after a relationship. Trying to find prestige in your status. Trying to move up the corporate ladder. Trying to prove that you have something to offer to the world. All of those things that we've trusted in, even good things, in the end, they're mute. They can't fulfill on what they promise. And so the people of God turn from those and they follow Jesus. Jesus is Lord. It's a radical statement. So these are the people that God has given gifts, and the gifts that he's given, they come from a Trinitarian gift-giving God. Look again at verse 6. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. God is a Trinitarian gift giver. These gifts are identified with the divine persons. The Spirit of God sovereignly gives gifts to his people. There is a variety of gifts. This is what we must understand, is that the Apostle Paul wants us to see that a healthy church exhibits a diversity of gifts, a diversity of talents, a diversity of abilities. He doesn't want uniformity. So while there is one Spirit, one Lord, one God, that one God provides a diversity of gifts, and that's actually healthy for the local church. And these gifts, they reflect the divine persons. Every person of the Trinity is involved in this gift-giving endeavor, he says. This Holy Spirit empowers his people for service. It starts with Jesus. And then he goes on to say that these gifts are a manifestation of the Spirit's presence. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. See, God's work in Christ is to be with his people. I mean, this has been the story of the entire Bible's narrative. Humanity, you and me, we were created to live in the relational presence of God. I mean, imagine that. The God of the universe made us that we could know him. We could live with him. But very quickly, sin enters into the human experience, and it disrupts everything. And it creates this relational chasm between humanity and God. And the story of scriptures from Genesis chapter 3 onward is that of God doing everything it takes to restore this relationship with his people. That's the story of the scripture. And we see it all throughout. God's presence is in the tabernacle. God's presence is with his people in the temple. God's presence is among his people. And yet there's still this relational distance. And God says that he's going to intervene and he's going to do something about sin. Ezekiel 36 and 37, he's going to remove the heart of stone that makes us cold towards him, and he's going to give us a heart of flesh. He's going to bring us to life. And how does he do it? He does it by Jesus, the one who was with God and who is God. That one, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. He tabernacled among us. God's presence made near. And now, by virtue of faith and trust in Christ, turning from that old way of life, embracing Jesus by faith, now not only is God near us, he comes in us. God's presence is brought near in the person and the work of Jesus, his son. And so the invitation that he gives to all of us is to trust him. Like, if you want to experience the relational presence of God, then you have to turn from those old ways of life. And you must embrace Jesus by faith. You must follow after him. And if you'll trust him, give your life over to him, confess your old way of life, turn from it, embrace him by faith. And the promise that he makes to us is that he will come near, he will take up residence in your life, he will bring you into his family. If this is the kind of God that we have, what would keep you from giving your life to him? What could possibly keep you from wanting to trust him by faith? embracing him in your life. And God, who does this work to be amongst his people, he uses the ordinary means of grace, the ordinary means of serving one another to make his presence felt. I mean, isn't it interesting that these gifts of the Spirit are described as a manifestation of the Spirit? That when you serve others, when you care for others, when you love others, when you help to meet practical needs, when you give a word of encouragement, when you give a word of rebuke, when you give a word of challenge, when you care for people, God's Spirit is manifest amongst us. We ought not look at those ordinary things as being like lesser. Like, those are the very means by which God is going to make his presence known among us. Just the very simple, ordinary means of grace. But often, isn't this the problem? You and I think that only the showy sorts of things are supernatural. But Paul wants us to see things differently. He wants us to see that in our ordinary acts of caring for others, serving one another, using our gifts and our abilities, that's the very means that God uses to make himself known. So in your service to one another, God is near. Like, this is why we need one another. We're constantly talking about this, that you and I have been built for community. We will not be able to experience or see the manifestation of the Spirit apart from one another. We don't get to experience it. We don't get to help others experience it. And so we need one another because the Spirit is at work in our life together. So don't turn your nose up at the ordinary. Like, we need to have a right understanding about the place of spiritual gifts in the life of the church. These are the means by which God uses to manifest his presence among us. And so what that means is it's not about you and it's not about your gifts. Like, this is the problem. We look at this list, we wonder what on earth is going on, and then we start to ask the question, what about me? What's my gift? We become so focused on ourselves, we miss the point. Just use your abilities. Use whatever God has given you to serve one another. And as we do that, his Spirit is manifest amongst us. I mean, that is absolutely staggering and mind-boggling. How on earth? Why on earth? And yet God, by his grace, this is how he's chosen to work. The Holy Spirit empowers his people for service. He gives every one of his people a gift. These gifts are a manifestation of the Spirit's presence. And the Holy Spirit gives his people for the good of others. To each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The gifts, the abilities, the talents, everything that you have has been given to you for the common good. It's not for you. It's not for you. It's for the common good. Like, this matters more than the list, that I would use my gifts and my abilities to serve others. That's what matters. That's what's foremost in Paul's mind. That's the correction that he's bringing to the Corinthians. They had all these crazy notions of what it meant to be spiritual people. And the Apostle Paul says, you want to know the secret of what it means to be a spiritual person? You have the Spirit of God residing in you. It's not these showy, supernatural, miraculous sorts of things that you exhibit in your life to demonstrate that you're spiritual. No, his point to the Corinthians is it's our ordinary means of service to one another for the common good. And so think of it. By taking an opportunity to just simply join a serve team, you can be used by God to make his presence manifest amongst his people. Like, being a part of Kids Co or a student ministry or the welcome team, the barista team, like just simple, ordinary acts that we ought not turn our nose up at, because those ordinary acts are the very ones that God uses to manifest the Spirit's presence amongst his people. And so in front of you somewhere is one of these serve cards, or you can get to it on the Church Center app. But on there, you'll see a list of some of the kinds of serve teams that we have for a Sunday morning here at Life Connection. And just a simple step that we could all take is to find a place to serve. You know, we ask this question, like, what's my gift? This is what I know for certain. As you serve, God will begin to help you see what you do well. But if we focus only on the question, what is my gift, I think we typically end up missing it. It's sort of like those magic eye pictures where things only come into focus when you look beyond it, when you look through it. Your gifts come into focus. Your unique abilities come into focus when you stop focusing on the gifts and the abilities and you begin focusing on serving others. That's how God is going to help us see how he's wired us and how he wants to use us in the lives of others. And so this week, we have an opportunity to seize the moment to serve others. What's it going to look like for you to take a step to find unique and intentional ways to serve one another? It's through those kinds of ordinary actions that the Spirit's presence is made manifest amongst his people. And the Apostle Paul says in chapter 14 that when that starts to happen, when the church starts to live as the church ought to live, then we point away from ourselves to the one whom we serve. And those who are on the outside, trying to figure out what makes you tick, trying to figure out what makes the church tick, are going to see something of his goodness, something of his kindness, something of his great grace and mercy and love. And he does that as we work to use our gifts and our abilities to serve one another in the way of Jesus. The Holy Spirit empowers his people for service. And so we take part in the Lord's Supper every week because we need reminded of what's right, what's real, and what's true. Everything that we've said this morning, it starts with Jesus. The only way I can experience God's gifting in my life is if I've trusted in Christ. God has made a way that we can come close to him in and through and by Jesus. By his life, his death, and his resurrection, we can know him. And so in this moment, every week, we remind ourselves of those realities. And so if you're a follower of Jesus, if you've trusted in Christ, if you've turned from those mute idols and you're following Jesus by faith, then this is a moment and an opportunity to worship, to remember what God has done for you in and through Jesus, making it possible that you can know him. And now, as we spend time thinking on Jesus, think of this. Jesus is the one who gave his life away in service to the world. And now, the gifts and the ability the Spirit of God places in you, he's done so for your service to the world. And so in light of who Jesus is, what's it going to look like for you and for me this week to take tangible steps of service amongst one another? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Spirit's activity in our life. We thank you that you have overcome the relational chasm that has kept us far from you. That in and through and by Jesus, we can come back into your family. We can be restored in relationship that we were intended and created to have. That we can experience your gifts your abilities, your talents that you've placed within us so we can serve one another well. Lord, may our life together honor you, glorify you, point away from ourselves and instead point people to Jesus. And so in this moment, would you meet with us? Might we experience in a fresh way your mercy and your kindness in our lives? And we pray this by Jesus' name. Amen.